Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Hello, children of the sun. This is Alessandra with another episode of Growing Good, a parenting show on Heritage Radio Network, airing straight out of Roberta's out of Bushwick, New York. Today's show is going to be about nature's weeds, native medicine, Native American herbal secrets. Now, of course, there's lots of Native American homemade secrets, and from facials to spiritual guides, etc. But we're going to just be talking about the ones that pertain to pregnancy, expecting pregnancies, labor, babies, and children. And just a little bit of what I could come up with. On a personal note, before I start off with the many recipes I'm going to be giving you today, I have been dealing with a lot of separation anxiety from my 20-month-old son this week. It's been really dramatic and also really drastic. And I did a little bit of research on that, and apparently it's very common for a child to completely switch zones on you between the years of a 1.5 and 2.5. And Wally's always been an early bloomer, so I've just, I've had a little bit of a tough week because he's gone from literally, I have a mommy helper that comes 2 days a week and grandparents that take him one night a week. And he used to just look at me when they would come and say, bye, mommy, bye, bye, because he was so excited to leave me and go have fun with these people. And now it's just been like 30 minutes of insane crying, throwing on the floor, like as if he's never, ever going to see me again. Mommy, mommy, it's so difficult to walk out the door. And I know that there are parents out there who have been through this, and I'm sure you're sending me your love and support, and I'm sending mine right back to the parents who are about to experience this, because it's really the saddest thing ever. But in my research, I have found that it is completely normal. It's a positive thing. You need to leave. You cannot stay and kind of like enhance the situation. It's good for their social skills and it's good for their own problem solving. It's very, very hard on the parents. So boo hoo hoo for me. That's what's been going on with me. If you have any thoughts on that, I'm part of the Brooklyn BabyHuey.com parenting group. I would love any and all support. And my group name is Mama Sandra. All right, so moving along, nature's weeds, native medicine. One of the greatest things that I've been using since Wally was about 8 months old, because he is curiously strong, is something called arnica lotion. This was recommended to me by Katya, who runs Play in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, just on an off day. She had a bottle out there. Basically, whenever Wally spills, I put this arnica lotion, it's an ointment actually, on him directly, and the bruise never appears. And of course, you know, we're all very self-conscious about our children walking around with huge welts and bruises. But also, as he grew older, I really keep it in my purse at all times, because if he throws a book at me, you know, out of excitement, or hits me in my eyeball, you know, with his skull when he's not understanding that it's hurting me, I apply it upon myself. So I did a little bit of a research on it, and it is a Native American tradition. So arnica lotion, I'm going to give you a little recipe of how you can make it at home. And then, of course, I'm going to give you the top two products on the market for, you know, you busy moms and dads that can't make this yourself. Arnica blossoms can be picked fresh to make this soothing skin lotion to treat sprains and muscle pains. This is also valuable to reducing bruising, speed healing, and improve the local blood supply. You cannot use this on broken skin. This is just for bruising, sprains, and muscle pains. For compresses, place the fresh arnica blossoms in a glass bowl and pour boiling water over them. Cover and infuse for 10 minutes. Strain out the spent blossoms and place them in a damp cloth or towel and fold this into a compress to place on any bruised or aching place on the body. So this is an actual compress that you can make. Arnica blossoms, obviously, you're not going to be able to find them at your supermarket. You can order any of the ingredients that we're going to be talking about on this segment online. But at the end of the show, I will be giving you a herb farm in New York and one in Connecticut that you can directly buy from. So that's for the compress. You want to soak and reapply it in the blossoms, both hot and cold compresses, frequently for maximum benefit. For a skin lotion, cool the strained arnica infusion and pour all but half a cup into a small basin to soak tired feet or hands. Use the remaining lotion to wash the body to stimulate surface blood circulation and soothe any inflammations. So to make two cups of this so that you can have, you know, some at hand for your baby, you can make a simple lotion by adding half a teaspoon of arnica tincture. This is something that you can buy at Whole Foods. And so you do half a teaspoon of arnica tincture to two cups of water in a bowl and stir it well. Make this stronger or weaker by adding more or less of the arnica tincture. You want to stay on the weaker side for the babies, depending upon your needs. Follow the same procedure for making a simple arnica massage oil. Add half a teaspoon of arnica tincture to one cup of almond oil. Use this in a bottle and cap tightly. Now, for an oil, it's really as if, you know, you're dealing with a big sprain, a big bruise, you know, because it is very, very strong. I recommend the lotion or the ointment. You might blend in several drops of other essential oils for fragrance, such as wintergreen, bayberry, bergamot, sweetgrass, or lavender. So on the market right now, a natural arnica that you can buy is on nelsonsnaturalworld.com. The product is called Nelson's. Nelson's Arnica Cream is an ideal first aid application, effective for all types of bruises resulting in injuries, knocks, and falls, especially for children. Now, they have a spray format that's ideal for large or hard-to-reach areas of the skin, so more for adults. A cooling gel, which helps refresh and revive tired legs and feet, also for adults. But what they have specifically for children is a lightly tinted stick, so it'll be so easy to, you know, apply to a moving child, a crying child, a hysterical child, or a playful child. It's formulated especially for the sensitive skin of children. So what you want to do is you want to get Nelson's Natural World tinted arnica stick. And it's really, really groovy. What I've been using is something called Weleda. You guys all know this line. It's spelled Weleda. It's the ointment. So it's like you only need about a pea size. It's the strongest. It's not a lotion. It's not an oil. It's the actual ointment. And you can also check out a lot of their other products. They have a huge line of baby products, mostly formulated around calendula, which is also known as the flower marigold. So that is my first Native American tradition tip. My second is all the amazing uses that witch hazel can do for you and your baby. There are so many witch hazel uses, and today quite a large number of people are starting to accept this herb instead of rubbing alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, and even neosporin. Aside from it being effective to reduce blemishes, there are still a number of ways on how you can put witch hazel to good use with your children. So one of them is a diaper rash. If your baby is suffering from a diaper rash, you will see across the board online parenting groups that there are so many parents that have tried everything, every product, every, you know, cooling temperature, every kind of diaper. Nothing works until they tried witch hazel. So it's very cool. You can apply a witch hazel solution, which is always three parts water to one part witch hazel. So you want to dilute it in water always. This will help your baby's diaper rash heal quickly. And another one is that it helps is to relieve poison ivy and poison oak. God forbid that you or baby rolls around in it, or you for yourself. But if you love camping, include witch hazel in your packing list. Witch hazel can reduce itchiness and relieves swelling in cases of poison ivy and poison oak. Another great use for witch hazel is for chickenpox blisters. You can create a chickenpox blister spray by combining witch hazel with aloe vera, lavender, honey, and other essential oils like lemon oil, bergamot oil, carrot seed oil, and peppermint oil. I think peppermint oil is a little bit strong. It can cause a little bit of a sting. I would stick to the softer oils, mix them together, and spray them onto the affected areas to treat chickenpox blisters and also reduce scarring. Witch hazel also heals bruises. If you want to speed up the healing of your bruises, apply witch hazel to these areas 3 times a day. It's also great for cuts. In replace of Neosporin, use witch hazel to protect your cuts from possible infection and to help heal cuts quickly. And it's also great for insect bites. Oof, Wally just got attacked by those mosquitoes. And I know you parents know what I'm talking about. The mosquitoes, they love our baby's little sweet blood. So witch hazel is a great antiseptic to treat insect bites. And you, again, apply the witch hazel to the affected areas to reduce redness and itching. These are my top two greatest advices to parents that I've learned from other parents. And I'm referring to a great book on the market called The Medicine Wheel Guarding, Creating a Sacred Space for Healing, Celebration, and Tranquility, the Native American way. So those are my top two. Moving right along, again, you can buy this witch hazel in its whole, you know, like 100% witch hazel at any store. And actually, even bodegas are starting to carry it. It's really cool. We're going to be getting into some real recipes here for Native American pregnancy teas, also their labor traditions and expecting parents, you know, traditions that they have after the break. Right now we're going to be playing a Cherokee song. It's called Morning Child by Native Americans. Have fun.
When they die,
everybody. That was the beautiful Cherokee Morning Child song here on Growing Good Today. We're talking about Native American traditions in the second segment of today's shows for birthing processes. Now, they are the queens of midwifery, which has, in today's society, made a huge comeback. I mean, all of my friends actually had midwives. Home births are becoming more and more common, and also hospitals that have birthing centers that are dedicated to water births, bringing in your doula and your midwife in a much more calm and peaceful environment. And it's very nice. The book that I'm going to be reading out from is called Nature's Weeds, Native Medicines, Native American Herbal Secrets. It's by Dr. Mary Miksak. And it explains here that midwives in the Native American culture saw the woman from her first menstrual cycle to menopause and offered herbal remedies specific for the changing phases of her life. So we're talking about an advanced kind of midwifery. This, your midwife would stick with you all the way through your menopause. So we're talking 40, 50 years, depending on how young you had your first child, which is really out of sight. And it can be seen how the women were revered as an individual as well as an important member of Native American society. During their birthing processes, women were empowered to actively participate in the birth, even though sedating herbs were readily available. Instead of using the sedating herbs, they used loving support and useful encouragement, and that was their primary medicine that was given to the birthing mom. A midwife would see reflection through the woman's eyes and the miracle of her birth, even as it happened for her as a young mother. The bond between the midwife and the patient lasted a lifetime, and she was often consulted during the postpartum period and beyond, which is very cool. I wish I had somebody to call for the next 50 years of my life to recount my birth. The midwives were involved in that course by making herbal medicine for both the mother and the child during the stages of pregnancy and birth. One tidbit, which obviously, as I'm not saying that I recommend it, I'm just telling you that this is a ritual in Native American pregnancies, is that tobacco was often burned outside of the birthing place. And if there was a full moon, a ceremony was performed complete with the making of full moon bread. Now, I looked everywhere for a recipe for full moon bread. I could not find one. If you find one, I would love for you to contact me at facebook.com/AlessandraMI. I even called the Smithsonian Native American Museum right here in New York City at 1 Bowling Street. They again had many references of this full moon bread, but no recipes. So I'm wondering, I think that it might just mean that it's just a perfectly round, high-risen bread, because those are the images that I found. But out of all my Native American full moon bread researches that I did, one that kept coming up that's very popular is called wild sage bread. And you can find this easy recipe online, wild sage bread. And that's something that you can do every full moon with your child, just the baking of bread and re-celebrate your child's birth. So some of the things that these midwives would do are they would use these teas that they came up with instead of drugs, which can be important, I think. So a native pregnancy tea recipe that I'm going to give you right now is: take a half cup of dried red raspberry leaves and berries, 1/4 cup of dried nettles, and 1/4 cup of dried red clover blossoms. This blend offers so much for the pregnant woman. The red raspberry is helpful for morning sickness and is reported to help prevent miscarriages. Nettles are rich in easy to absorb vitamins and minerals, all properly balanced and bioavailable. Nettles also help with night leg cramps, which is huge for a pregnant woman, so common. And the raspberry leaves contain fragrine and a uterine tonic, which allows for a safe and comfortable childbirth experiences, minimizing your UTIs or any complications in your bladder system. They also began to give their women pre-birth a breast milk builder that they then continued after the birth. The breast milk builder tea is 1/4 cup of red raspberry leaves, 1/4 cup of red clover blossoms, 1/4 cup of fennel seed, and 1/4 cup blessed thistle leaves. All of these herbs are highly nourished and plants that statistically increase milk flow. Now, I had tried these pills that a midwife gave me. They upset my stomach. It was so hard for me to include them in my diet. So this is just a smoother, softer, liquid-based way to enhance your breast milk. This recipe will encourage the production of high-quality breast milk. And before the use of bovine hormones in dairies, farmers added fennel to their cows, actually, to feed the natural boost milk production of cows. So this is something that is still being used on farms all over. And, you know, when you are pregnant and having a baby, you are farming in your own way. A tea that they would recommend for the child is called tea Teepee Creepers Pleasers. It's a fourth cup of dried spearmint leaves, a fourth cup of dried red clover blossoms, a fourth cup of dried nettles, and a fourth cup of dried elderberries. Elderberries are amazing for children. Mix all these dried herbs together and store them in a Ziploc bag in the refrigerator. They can be served chilled or iced. So what's very cool is that you can actually make ice pops out of this recipe. It's very pleasant tasting for the kids, and it offers vitamins, minerals, and a healthy dose of vitamin C. Elderberry is now being investigated for its reported ability to thwart the common cold. So it is also an immune booster. What you've heard a lot about in all of these recipes that I just mentioned to you is the red raspberry effect on pregnant women. It's very important. It's one of the new things that I found out. I'm definitely going to be getting on it. You may be asking yourself, where can I find all of these ingredients? So, again, we have this powerful source called the World Wide Web, and they will deliver it straight to your house. But I have found this one of these books does reference some nurseries where native plant suppliers supply to, and you can find many of the right plants for your medicine wheel garden to make these recipes at them. So they're all over the nation, but I have found and contacted one in New York and one in Connecticut. The one in New York is called Miller Nurseries. It's in Canandaigua, New York, and their number is 1-800-836-9630. And there's also one in Connecticut called Shepherd's Garden Seeds, and that's in Torrington, Connecticut. And they have a website, www.shepherdsseeds.com, and their phone number is 1-860-482-3638. So the next and final most important thing in a Native American rituals between a mother and a baby is the growing process. They really urge you to plant seeds and have your child help and facilitate the growth of a seed. And I know that we live in apartments, but again, you can just have some pots on your windowsill. And, you know, teaching the child, it's all about the earth, teaching him to water the plant, watching it grow, watching it live. This was something that was basically all that these women did with their children from the beginning up until they, you know, were ready to leave their home. They were always, the children in Native American cultures were always in charge of the gardens, which I thought was very interesting, because in our culture, it's usually, you know, the mother or the father, or, you know, you hire someone. But it was actually, their chores weren't to, you know, take out the garbage or whatever has become in our society the regular chores. Children in Native American on compounds were in charge of the gardening, which I thought was very, very cool. It gives them appreciation of life. It also gives them advanced appreciation of death and to care for something and to feed themselves, to feed their community. And the children would actually trade to each other, you know, from their different gardens. So some of the simple long-lasting herbs that you can start this with in your own home is the four herbs that constitute a medicine wheel garden for Native American is chamomile, sage, thyme, and rosemary. So these are four herbs that your child and you can start growing today. They're long-lasting. They're not easy to wither, and it's a beautiful experience. And I've started mine 3 days ago with Wally. Every morning we water them, and every afternoon we place them in the sunlight. If they're not in the sunlight, you know it's hard when you're at work and you want to get out of town. But this is something very cool that you city folks can do to get back to your nature with your children. And that's it. We're gonna wrap up a little bit early today. I hope that you've enjoyed the show and that you have a very happy holiday. Wally and I are also starting another tradition where on Christmas we're going to be helping out a soup kitchen in the Lower East Side. Remember to give back. There's lots of toy donations going around in the city. Help unfortunate kids and people that have less than you. Get involved. It's great for your children. Love and Light from Alessandra.
On December 17th, Typhoon Sendang dropped over 180 millimeters of rain in less than 24 hours and caused severe flash flooding to the northern Mindanao region of the Philippines. The cities of Iligan and Cagayan de Oro City were hit the worst, and the area has suffered severe damage and human loss. 654 people have been claimed dead, hundreds more are missing, and nearly 100,000 Filipinos have been displaced after the floodwaters destroyed everything in its path during the late hours of the night. The city's power and water supplies were shut down for nearly 24 hours, and many Filipinos need your help. Xavier University is accepting donations to help those in need. Please visit www.sendongrelief.org for more information. That's www.sendongrelief.org. The holidays are here, and it's time to head to the Heritage Meat Shop for some juicy Berkshire pork roast, tender Piedmontese steaks, traditional Christmas goose, and duck. Our world-famous charcuterie and fresh meats are guaranteed to please everyone, whether it's a party of two or 200. Be sure to stop by the Heritage Meat Shop to make your holiday celebration a delicious and memorable event. The Heritage Meat Shop is located at 120 Essex Street in the historic Essex Street Market on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Call 212-539-1111 to order now.